Visuaalisen viestinnän tekijät -ohjelmaan tarjoaa Grafia. Löydä huippusuunnittelija grafia.fi kautta tekijät.
Oh yeah, viikograafikko, visuaalisen viestinnän maagikko. Vastaukset antaa kirjasto, hän on todellakin viikon graafikko.
Viikon graafikko, or as we say in English, graphic designer of the week. And good news, everyone who doesn't know Finnish, this week's episode will be held in the beautiful language of English, because opposite of me, we have Lilla Meyer. A warm welcome to you.
Hello, nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. I'm Kasper Strömman. And before we kick off this interview, I'm going to give you some Meyer facts, which I have Googled about you. So you grew up in Hungary. You graduated with a BA from the Mohai Noig University in Budapest. You have an MA from the Aalto University in Visual Communication Design / Information Design. You have a day job as a graphic designer at Milton here in Helsinki. And you also teach from time to time at the Aalto University. Your Instagram project, Cultural Tapestry Threads, is making waves across the internet. And according to your portfolio, you practice design with attitude and curiosity to challenge uniformity. Was that about right?
Yes. Sounded more impressive than in my mind.
You need to be. This is basically like an audio LinkedIn. We need to just spread it thick over your CV. But yeah, very good to have you here. And I feel like we need to start from the beginning. How did you end up as a graphic designer here in sunny Helsinki?
Right. So the simple answer is that through my husband, who I met with in Hungary.
And he's Finnish, then, is he?
Yeah, he's living in... He grew up in Finland.
Yes, okay.
I also considered to continue my studies in Aalto. So I also, not much after I moved to Finland, I applied there to gain master's diploma, yeah.
Yes, because you, on your CV it says you did some kind of foundation course in Hungary and then a degree at the Mohai Noig University in Budapest. How was that?
Yeah, in Hungary, if you want to get to one of these best design or art universities, you need to study before. And so I studied in this vocationary school for 2 years after I turned 18. And then from there, I could get to the university.
Yes. So the vocational school, was it more like, here's a pair of scissors? Here's a scalpel, and now we needed to cut out a letter from this cardboard box.
No, it was actually proper graphic design studies.
Okay.
And we studied typography and art history, graphic design history, graphic design in practice, and a lot of different approaches to graphic design. But it was a very condensed and proper school, five times in a week and with a lot of homeworks. And
that's very cool. Did some people then just go on to pursue a career straight from this school? Or
I think so, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And this would have been, what, back in the early 2000s or? Well, I mean, I don't have your CV in front of me, but you didn't feel it was enough for you. You wanted something more.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to go to the university. That seemed at that time the coolest thing in the world. So
was it cool?
When I was there, I really enjoyed being there. Yeah, it was an amazing community, and I met with a lot of inspiring people, and I have a lot of friends still from there.
Okay. And from my experience, you always have to choose if you play as a graphic designer, if you play in a band or are a DJ. So which one did you choose?
Like freelance or...
No, I'm just joking around a little bit. Like, I feel like, because you're talking about the coolness of graphic design, which I don't know exists anymore, but everybody's supposed to release their own music on the side, at least from my experience back in the day. Anywho, you then opted to do an MA in Helsinki.
Yes, after the Hungarian University, I worked 1 year in Hungary in an innovation lab, and then I was also freelancing quite a lot. I worked with the Finnish Cultural Institute in Hungary, and then I ended up in Finland 9 years ago in January when it was extremely cold and dark and...
I have no idea what the Finnish Cultural Institute is doing in Hungary. What are they up to?
I met with my husband there, who they organized pretty cool programs. For example, there was a Teemu Keisteri exhibition.
But that's nice, because I thought it was going to be Moomins and...
No.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's very nice. So they got some like current... contemporary artists.
Yeah, there was also the. They also bring Finnish movies to Hungary.
All right. I know the Hungarian Cultural Institute got a very nice spot here in Helsinki, but then again, obviously, you don't know what's going on abroad. Yeah, I went to a exhibition about the Rubik's Cube. Earlier this year. Anyway, now you have a day job as a graphic designer at probably the biggest communications company here in Finland. How did you land that job?
I was working at a small agency, VR Inc. and Milton acquired that company while I was on maternity leave, and then I ended up there.
You're driftwood. You're a like pure graphic designer, or what does your job description look like?
I work mainly with branding and brand identities, and we do a lot of those at Milton. But I have this background from my studies in Aalto with specializing on information design, and I try to bring that knowledge to my branding approach as well.
Yes, and let's talk about that information design, because there's professional Meyer, but there's also curious exploring Meyer, who runs the Instagram project Cultural Tapestry Threads. Please tell us about that.
So,
it's on Instagram. You can Google those words, and basically, I mean, you say it's a visual blog exploring the history of graphic culture and its relevance in since 2025.
Yeah, so at the time when I was when I started thinking about this blog, I noticed that we just keep repeating the same things all the time. We scroll through the same Pinterest boards and everything becomes quite homogeneous in the design field. It was also the time when I think graphic design became very accessible, or maybe it became earlier, but like, yeah, so lately graphic design became very accessible, and there are many designers who become designers through learning from YouTube, following tutorials, and you can learn the hard skills by yourself. But I wanted to believe that all those extra things I learned through my studies, that they give an additional layer to my work, to put my work in a cultural context or to help me understand what are those different things that we operate with our visual language.
Yeah, and they're very... It was an instant follow for me. I'm not going to lie. It's a very nicely laid out, researched, and yeah, actually, just a well-crafted project. And you write about different things, like there are quite a few many articles on black letter, and by that I mean Gothic fonts, which are used every here and there. But what I was wondering about, because your latest post, this is posted in October, there's an urban legend that the average person can recognize more logos than bird species, and goes on, these days it feels impossible to escape the endless buzz of advertising, and a person living in a city is exposed to about 5,000 ads each day. Advertising saturates every aspect of life, you're right. And it's probably true, but yet you actually work in that industry. So do you feel like there's a conflict of interests in these two aspects of your life?
Yes, certainly. But I think it's quite hard to escape from this contradiction. Like in any fields, it's just with the marketing, it's more apparent. But you can still do it in a ethical way that brings value to everyday life, I think.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you need to pay the bills. So I guess you do feed, I mean, these two words feed off each other as well, because you probably need to do a lot of research in your day job, to which can then translate into this cultural tapestry thread project. I was interested in the thing a few months back you wrote about game transfer phenomenon. I mean, please tell us about that.
Well, it's just a phenomenon that I think everyone had been in that situation, that you wanted to zoom on a printed image.
Yes, like you
or
do
a small
the two,
text.
You do the two finger zoom on a picture. You go like, I want it bigger. It doesn't get bigger. What's wrong? And you realize it's a printed newspaper.
Yes.
So, is that getting out of hand?
I think it just reflects that we should be aware of, and maybe we can build on that in some way. I don't really have the answers how to, but...
No, I notice you're also quite on trend very quickly. You wrote about AI slop back in March, when I probably hadn't heard about it. So where do you pick up all these trends you write about?
Yeah, so actually the other reason why I wanted to write about graphic design history was that I studied quite a lot of it, but I felt like that it exists a bit in a vacuum, and it's very hard to bring that knowledge into our everyday practice. So I also try to connect those examples I write about to a modern pop cultural context, and I think it's important to make those topics relatable. So then people can understand that, okay, so why should I know about this old thing then? Because it can be still relevant today.
Yeah, for example, in the Black Letter article, or there's two or three of them, you talk about this Gothic fonts being used in, like, there's this trendy water called Liquid Death that uses it, and Life of Pablo. But when I was reading this, I was just in my head, I was thinking, isn't it difficult to stay current on trends when everything is so fragmented? Because I feel everything exists at once right now.
Yes.
And so many microtrends, and this Gothic fonts probably been used in some context all the time. But when does a thing become mainstream then? I mean, so mainstream that you actually write about it. Because I always used to think it like when H&M does a T-shirt about it. That's when things are really mainstream. But now that sort of lost cultural relevance, and because people are buying their clothes from China now. So, and we all know that cycle is furious and very fast.
Yeah. It's quite scary how these trends come and go, and you have to be so quick with everything. But
I'm also thinking, how do you choose which trends to go by? Because we all know Taylor Swift is hugely popular. Yet I find I don't need to know anything about Taylor Swift. I hear the songs on the radio. I go like, fine, that's Taylor Swift. But how do you pick out what's relevant for your cultural tapestry trend?
Yeah, so it's not necessarily something that is relevant to me. For example, I wrote about K-pop demon hunters, which I'm clearly not the target group of it. But because there are, it's such a huge success that I thought that, okay, this has something to do with everyone who is following pop culture at the moment. And actually it has interesting historic references and layers. So I thought that, okay, you can do something extremely mainstream, but still with interesting reflections.
Yes. Should I watch it? K-pop Demon Hunters. Is it any good? That's what I'm asking, really.
I think it's not bad.
Okay. Well, that was very diplomatic. No, but I really like this project, and I've been known to follow quite a few other ones in the vein. Do you follow one called, it's a guy called Samu Taro? It sounds Finnish, but I don't think he's Finnish at all. But he writes about, I don't know, Timbaland shoes and Brazilian house music, and like a guy from Alabama who really wants to be working class English, and he wears Stone Island and goes around saying, "Get up, mush." I don't know. I mean, but do you have, what I'm trying to ask, I guess, is do you have any other similar things that inspired you to make your own one on Instagram?
I can't really name a single one, but I follow quite a lot of these kind of blogs.
Yes, let's talk about those in a while. We are going for a short break right now.
Hyvä suunnittelu näkyy ja kuuluu. Viikon graafikon tarjoaa Grafia.
So this is Graphic Designer of the Week. I'm Kasper Strömman, joined today by super graphic designer Lilla Meyer. Once again, a warm welcome. And now is the time that we play this logo.
Nyt viikon graafikko raportoi, mikä viikon logossa inspiroi. Tältäkö tuntuu, kun paras ei riitä? Miksi niin hyvä? Kerro siitä.
I'm going for the stadium feeling in my jingles. But Lilla, what logo did you bring us today?
I was hesitant between two logos. I wanted to show a bit my Hungarian heritage. And my first thought was the Renault, the car logo.
Oh, is that Hungarian?
Is designed by Victor Vasarely.
Okay.
The shape painter that they are using now with a bit of changes. But I, to be honest, I don't care too much about car logos, so.
Well, fair enough.
So I decided to show another one, which is for a radio called Orion. Can I show now?
Obviously. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, this is cool. And is this a Hungarian radio station?
Yes, it doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately, but
when was it around? Yeah, because if I had to describe it, I'd say it's Art Deco mixed with some kind of Egyptian themes.
Well, it's 1925.
Okay, so that makes sense.
So there is clearly some Art Deco kind of thing in it. But it's funny. I think it's more like some South American thing. And it was actually stolen lately by a Peruvian company.
Oh, really? But that's so interesting, because this is the things you write about in your cultural tapestry thread. I mean, things that come around and go around and just being appropriated on the other side of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
But
And just one more thing about the logo. That the logo itself is also, I think, really beautifully crafted. But then it had also these wonderful posters where they are using the logo as an element.
Oh, that's so nice. So, and if I once again had to describe it, it's a South American, Native American face with an open mouth looking forward, and then there's the same guy two times more, but in profile. And above it, it says Orion in a kind of half circle way. And this is interesting because you write about this, what was it called? Faces Within Faces on your cultural tapestry thread. I skimmed through it, but what was that about?
It's just that when these overlapping faces, it's kind of a cliche almost, but it's something that was present thousands of years ago in art history, and we still use it in contemporary visual communication. But it always the meaning of it shifted quite a lot. So for the Romans, it was about the god Janus, and now it's more about intertwining identities. And
yes. Do you know when this radio station folded you showed me? When did it go out of function?
I don't know.
Yes. But the posters, I guess, are still available somehow. Fantastic. Thank you very much for that one. And I'm going to show you a maybe a bit more sober one. Have you come across this one?
Yes.
It's the Olavi logo.
I think it's a nice logo.
I think it's a fantastic logo. This is, for those who don't know, Finland's third largest brewery. And the logo says Olavi, which is the name of the company. I don't know. I don't think it means anything. But it's also a barrel of beer. How fantastic is that? I tried to Google it. On Olavi's website, it says Marko Salonen of the PHS advertising agency designed this in 1947, but this version is from 2003, but it's basically the same. They just did some minor tweaks in the early 2000s. But I don't know, this beer brand wasn't really around in Western Finland when I was growing up, so I only probably saw this for the first time in my 20s, and I just think it's sorcery. It's very good, and it tells us exactly what's going on and what it's about.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect example of how just with a few letters you can actually express quite a lot, and it becomes the shape itself. And
yeah,
it's well crafted,
and again, just proves that, you know, logos can actually have a meaning, which I'm always after. My brand of graphic design is things should stand for something. And I think this is a fantastic example. I want to congratulate all of you. You have been doing a great job since 1947. Please continue doing what you're doing. But now, back to Meyer facts. I want to ask you, when did you become a graphic designer? Was there a defining moment in your childhood?
So I'm coming from a family where both of my parents are art historians. So I was exposed to a lot of art, and we visited a lot of museums and exhibitions since I was born. Our typical family holidays were like that. We visited 10 exhibitions within 2 days.
Let me guess, you hated it?
No, I really loved that since even as a little kid. So for me, it wasn't a problem at all.
Yeah, because I'm thinking my own kids who have to go to art exhibitions, and they don't seem to enjoy it too much. But you grew up with this and you loved it.
Yes, I sorry. I was always fascinated by it, and I even liked those kind of things when we visited the church in Italy, and then my parents were explaining what the paintings are about on the walls and all the symbolism and the meanings that as a visitor I wouldn't have noticed. And
I need to meet your parents. This sounds fantastic. But this explains your interest in explaining culture within graphic design, I guess.
Yeah, but I was also very much into doing things with my hands, and I wasn't particularly good with drawings, but I still did quite a lot, and then I was doing a lot of photography and film as a teenager. I wanted to work with media more, but then my parents said that no, if you want to earn money, you should be a graphic designer.
Well, maybe it was true back then. I don't know how it is now.
It felt more stable, maybe. And
yeah, and that worked out well. But you didn't feel like rebelling like so many people do, say teenagers, against your parents' beliefs and core values.
With this one,
I'm just saying they recommended this path for you and you followed it.
Yeah, I trusted them with this one for sure. Yeah. But I it was actually more about that I didn't believe in myself that even if I don't draw perfectly, that can I still become a graphic designer? Isn't it about drawing perfect, anatomically correct people and stuff? And I had to practice that quite a lot. But let's be honest, I don't use that knowledge in my day job.
No, I guess it's Russian fine artists who like the anatomically perfect expression these days. Yes. Okay, but then you did your studies, and do you still remember your first official paid job, which you did as a graphic designer?
Actually, can I jump back to the previous one?
Yes.
I was just thinking about this yesterday, that when I was a teenager and I was preparing for a test at school, and I always did these notes for myself, and I organized the text in a way that partly that it made sense all of a sudden how I structured the text, or it just helped me to remember where did I wrote a specific piece of information or how I circled it. And I just realized that that was actually kind of graphic design or information design, you know, how you organize information, and that helps you to understand afterwards then.
Yes, not that many kids are passionate about kerning and spacing, which you clearly were at that point. Then you studied, and do you still remember your first official job, like the one you got maybe paid for or did for a friend, or your first graphic design job, basically?
It wasn't... no, I don't remember what was the first paid one, but when I was in high school, I ran a movie club and I did posters for it every week.
Oh, cool. Were they sort of these, you see these old Czech posters where they did versions of the Terminator and...
Yeah, I did my own versions of the movies. And they clearly had no connection to the actual movie, but...
Have you been saving those? I mean...
No.
No. Okay. Do you have pictures of them?
No, and I don't want to see them.
Do you think they would hold up even today? No, but people love those. You know, like the Czech version of Star Wars poster from 1977. I think... they would be fantastic. So do you feel your style has changed since those days?
I hope so.
Yeah, because I'm just asking, because deep down there's a core of something that's probably similar, even though your technique has probably improved over the years and computers have come into the pictures and whatnot.
No, I hope my approach has changed completely.
Yeah, but this is very interesting when you said, like, you're doing layout as a, I don't know, 13-year-old. If I may ask, what does your process look like when you tackle a new project? What's the first thing you do? I mean, a lot of people, they go to these mood boards or they pull out a sketchbook or whatever.
Yes,
I mean, obviously you need to have a good talk with the client.
Yeah, so first it's important to understand what the client is about or their products are about, and then I do my research, how others are approaching that topic, but it's also important to find inspiration from other fields. So you don't get stuck in with the same practices that everyone else is doing.
How do you keep things fresh like that? Do you have a secret source we don't know about?
No, I don't have a specific source, but I think it's just everything that we do. We go to exhibitions, theater, we read books, go to the opera, whatever, or just something more simple that builds into your own taste and that is something very unique that you own and that is something that AI won't take from you. Or can't...
Yes. Looking at your portfolio, you do use a little bit of AI, though, because there was this social media report which you used AI for illustrating.
I was curious about the tool, and that was about the topic. It was about the trends and social media trends, and AI was obviously one of the trends, so it felt like...
It was very on point to use that tool.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So I didn't mind trying out AI as a tool for that project, but using AI just for the sake of using AI doesn't make much sense. So I use it when it makes sense, but actually very rarely, very very rarely. So
I'll have to agree with you there. Can I ask you then? Did you ever mess up royally at any point?
What?
Did you ever have a project that everyone just gave up at some point? Like you were doing something, the client went like, nah, I'm not so sure about this. And, or did something that went catastrophically wrong? Because everyone loves hearing about that. I probably have something in mind, but I won't bore people with them. I mean, it's probably, usually it's something simple, like something went wrong at the printers or something, but then sometimes you can use these errors for good. They turn into something good if you just go with the flow. Well, I mean, if I rephrase it, are you especially proud of something you have done then? What's the single best thing you've ever done?
As a graphic designer.
Yes. Or as a human being, I don't care.
As a human being, it's my son, obviously, but...
Yes.
As a graphic designer, well, I was working on this project, the social design cookbook, a few years ago.
And you brought that to the studio looking fine, if you ask me.
It was a huge project that was self-published in the end, and the topic itself is very inspiring. It's about social collaboration and recipes of different projects that can spread then around the world. Projects like the ones that everyone knows, like Pecha Kucha or
Yeah, it says here, recipes for social cooperation.
Yes. So there is actually a tool that Attila, the editor, invented, and it helps you to organize any kind of happening, whether it's a birthday party or a demonstration or whatever, and
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you brought this to the studio. It's about, I don't know, 400 pages, very beautiful duotone, sort of a tan and blue colors only used. And this is something that could change the world, I guess. No, I mean, it looks like a very sort of highbrow, or well, not highbrow, but a project that could potentially transform the way we interact with each other. Yeah, we'll talk about this in a second, but let's take a small break.
Visuaalisen viestinnän tekijät -ohjelmaan tarjoaa Grafia. Löydä huippusuunnittelija grafia.fi kautta tekijät.
This is Graphic Designer of the Week. I'm Kasper Ström, and we have Lila Meyer in the house. And let me play you this little logo.
Hot take. Se on meidän motto. Suomeksi hot take on tietty kuuma otto.
Yes, obviously I meant jingle. But what is your hot take today, Lila Meyer?
That talent is overrated.
Very nice. 100% agree with you. Could you please elaborate?
When people say that, oh, you are so talented, and that just takes all the work that you put into your work, you know, like all the years of practice and the hard work that you put into it. And it when someone says that, oh, you can do it because you are talented, it sounds like that, oh, you could just...
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that old saying, work is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration, because I do see people who are talented, but they waste the talent because they don't want to put in the work. And spend their time, I don't know, sitting at the bar. I felt like earlier when people, me included, were going more to bars, there were always that one guy who was explaining a lot about, it was usually a he, like his big project, but nothing actually ever happened. And I feel he was probably talented, but he didn't really put down the work.
Yeah, that's the other way around, yes. Oh, that's also true.
Have you got any good examples of wasted talent? Yeah, but I do agree with you. Overrated. You can... I know a lot of big artists, like even like people who draw for Disney, like Don Rosa. It says like he can't really draw, but he draws just from morning to late evening. And it's the 10,000 hour rule, Malcolm Gladwell, that if you just do something forever, you're eventually going to get good at it.
Yeah, I think for if we stay with the graphic design, then that.
Yes, but I do agree with you. Okay, let me talk about my hot take this week. Every rebranding doesn't need a custom typeface. I am sure a lot of graphic designers will disagree with me, but have you noticed this? When graphic designers take on a rebranding, more often than not, they decide that this institution or company, whatever, they need a custom-made typeface, which they then commission from a font person or foundry, which is good. Obviously, they get some work coming in. But I feel like 9 times out of 10, it's probably not absolutely necessary.
I can agree with that, that not all the time. But of course, it's never necessary, but it gives a good ownable asset to a company. And usually the argumentation is that even if you just write a text with that typeface, then it will be with your own visual asset that
right.
It will be already with your
for me as a spectator and consumer, I oftentimes just feel like this kind of looks like any old existing sans serif, because they're usually not fantasy fonts, are they? They're something sober and something that should give you a sense of that this is a serious company. So it's not fantasy they're going for. They're going for something very legible and very normal looking.
Yeah, that's true. But then another aspect is that often when you when there is a huge company with a lot of employees, then buying an existing typeface can be actually much more expensive than getting a completely new one from a typographer.
Right, but do you need to buy typefaces in this day of and age of Google Fonts? And there's literally like millions of fonts floating around and they're pretty good. I'm telling you, your face says like, don't use Google Fonts. But I assure you, 99% of the people won't see the difference.
I have to use sometimes Google Fonts, but there are not that many good options there. So it's very limited. And then all the companies end up with the same 5 Google Fonts.
I like your purity at hand here, because I feel like it's vanity, but you're saying it actually makes sense then.
I have to believe that it makes sense.
You know what? I'm known for changing my opinion mid-sentence, so I'll go like, okay. I guess this wasn't the hottest take in the world then. Still, I mean, I can reassess my values, and maybe I'll start doing those fonts then. Cool. Have you ever thought about what you would do if you weren't a graphic designer?
Something where I don't need to look at the screen.
Is that even possible these days?
Well, I was thinking about like gardening and flower arranging.
Right. You're probably right. But at some point, I just felt like even if you're a cab driver, you need 4 little screens in your car when you drive around, like a navigator and I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, you're probably right. There's probably a few of those professions left.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, not that many, so.
No.
Not that many options left.
I'm thinking as an international graphic designer who has studied on the continent and up in the cold north, and you have a sort of wide-angle vision of the world of graphic designer. Would you have any tips for someone starting out today or just thinking about studying? I mean, is it worth it in this day and age when everything, like, the pessimists say that AI will do everything?
Yeah, I think it's quite difficult that there are these ready-made templates for everything now. And someone without any prior software knowledge can create these graphic materials. And I think it makes it very difficult for those who want to become professionals how to experiment and how to make all the trials and errors instead of getting instant results. But it's not only, it's a problem in my day job as well, where efficiency is so prioritized that we need to have opportunities to experiment, or we can't really create anything innovative or outstanding. And I think schools are great places for that, because there you can experiment with a lot of different things without taking any risks. So I would recommend still go to a design school instead of learning everything from YouTube tutorials.
Yeah, and I mean, I respect that coming from someone who has walked around Italian churches for the first 15 years of her life, just getting art lectures from her parents. So, I mean, I do see how that builds character, and not only character, but just like this huge knowledge of centuries of art that's been going on before any of us were born. For someone who's an expert on cultural trends, where do you see graphic design is heading if you had to look into your little crystal ball now?
Well, all the tools are super accessible at the moment. There was just a new software launched today, which is free for anyone, and it's a professional software. So I think it's... wait.
Yeah, so I see how people tend to think, like, if they're an expert on, say, Photoshop, they're an expert on design as well. It used to be like that as well, like the tools. People learn the tools, but not necessarily the profession.
Exactly. So the tools are available, and then there will be all, obviously, these AI softwares. But then won't replace the creative thinking, and that is a worry to me. It's also a worry with my own work, you know, that how can I stay creative if there is a software that fills those holes?
Mm.
So I have to still keep myself constantly stimulated somehow.
How do you go about doing that then?
Try not to fill those holes with
software. No, but keep yourself stimulated, I mean.
Just keep an open eyes and
is it medieval Finnish churches? So those can be pretty cool. Not as much marble as in the Italian ones, but still.
There is something cute in their naivety.
Yeah, and they're quite rough sometimes. But you have to see that, I mean, obviously there weren't much funds available, so they did what they could.
Yeah.
Our program is nearing to the end, but I want to ask you, is there anything you would like to recommend to our listeners? Something that inspired you lately? A book, a film, like a chapel. I'm getting back to the chapel all the time. I mean, okay. If you don't come up with anything, I have to say Social Design Cookbook looks mighty fine, and it's probably still available somewhere, is it?
You can contact me if you would like a copy. I have several. But we also have a web store somewhere that I can't recall at the moment.
Yes, you have two Instagram. It's Lila Meyer and Cultural Tapestry Threads, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Can I jump back to the
inspiration? Yeah, yeah, please do,
thing. Please do. Yes, so I watch a lot of movies, and I think the Helsinki Film Festival is something that I'm always looking forward every year. And it was just now, a few weeks ago, I saw a few great movies there. Let's skip this.
Okay.
But there is one thing that came to my mind.
Okay.
There is the exhibition in Athenaeum now about secessionism and Art Nouveau that is a quite a popular exhibition, so maybe it doesn't need that much recommendation, but it is a marvel for anyone who is interested in graphic design. And
I hadn't heard about it. I'm definitely going to check it out. I have to wrap things up now, but thank you so much, Lila Meyer, for coming to the studio. This is our last program for this autumn. Next year, we'll see how it goes. It will probably carry on, but for now, bye, bye.
Hän on luovuuden haulikko, viikon graafikko. Hän ei ole mikään utuvikko, viikon graafikko. Hän on visuaalinen maagikko, viikon graafikko. Tietä mikä on Atina laatikko, viikon graafikko. Hän on viikon graafikko.